The older you get, the more you realize just how old your body can become. The aging process is a constant reminder that our bodies were not made to last forever. But the good news is, as believers in Jesus Christ, our heavenly bodies are going to be perfect. They'll be immortal. They'll be imperishable. And in today's message from Dr. Jack Graham, you'll discover not only the hope that you have in a new heavenly body, but how you can use the body that God has given you today to accomplish His kingdom work. So stay with us. PowerPoint with Jack Graham is coming up right now.
So I want to talk to you a little bit today about our heavenly bodies. Take your Bibles and begin finding 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to talk about the resurrected body. I want to fire up your imagination. You say, well, heaven is beyond my imagination. No, it is not. The Spirit of God will show you in the Word of God some things about heaven that will fire you up to live for Jesus every day. Because heaven is not just out there somewhere. Heaven is in our hearts. It becomes the habit of our hearts when we know Him. And heaven is a real, tangible place. It's not an existence, a spiritual existence, but it is a place, a perfect place, where we will live with a perfected Savior in a perfected state of life. When Jesus comes or calls us home, we're going to be with Him. And when we go to heaven to be with Christ, it will be, as I said, a prepared and a perfect place for perfected people. We will, in that moment when we stand before Jesus, immortal, eternal in the heavens, we will be perfected. And that is the goal of salvation in Christ. When we are saved, that's justification. We are made at one moment, at one time, the child of God, children of God. And we are forever saved. That's justification. Then the process of growing in our faith is sanctification, as we are being made more like Christ. We're not there yet. We're certainly not in a perfected state today. But one day we will be with Christ and we shall see Him as He is. The psalmist said, I will be satisfied when I arise in your likeness. We will be like Jesus. That is called glorification. And at the moment of glorification, we will, whether by rapture or resurrection, we will be like Christ and we will bear the bodies of eternity. Now, heaven is a perfect place, perfect in worship. The music here, of course, is magnificent. We celebrate our Lord and praise Him. But the music and the glory of the worship of heaven will be beyond anything we could possibly experience here and now. Like the great Baptist preacher R.G. Lee once said, the music this side of heaven will be like a bumblebee in a jar compared to the glory of the music and the worship in heaven. And we look forward to worshiping our Lord in heaven. And the glory of that worship is that we will see Jesus. The glory of heaven is we will be in the presence of Christ. Perfect worship, also perfect service. Please don't get the idea that in heaven we're going to do nothing for eternity. Gary Lawson, who wrote the Far Side cartoons, put a cartoon in one time of a man who was sitting on a cloud looking bored stiff, like he was on a deserted island somewhere. And the caption underneath the cartoon said, I should have brought a magazine. But so many people have the idea that there's going to be nothing to do when we get to heaven. But the Bible says in Revelation 22:3 that we are going to serve Him day and night. There will be plenty to do. And we will proclaim His glory and we will live. Again, heaven is not an ethereal existence. But we will be in a real place, in real time, in eternity. And living together to the glory of God, a perfect place of service. It will also be a place of perfect beauty. Perfect beauty. We can't imagine the beauty of heaven and the glory of heaven. We can try. The Bible describes some of it in incredible, exciting terms, just some of the beauty. The most beautiful things on earth are descriptive, just descriptive, barely descriptive of the beauty of heaven. I like the story of a little girl who was talking to her father. They were looking up into a starlit night, and the little girl said, "Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what should the right side of heaven look like?" It's going to be magnificent in all of its beauty, and we'll talk about that in a later message. But in heaven, there will also be perfect knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." We have great capacity for knowledge, increasing capacity for knowledge. The world of knowledge is at our fingertips. You can place on your computer knowledge from around the world at your fingertips. Is an incredible amount of information and knowledge. So can you not imagine the knowledge that is at the hand of God that will be available to us? We'll be learning and growing and developing. We'll understand things as we've never understood them before. Our minds will be capable of knowledge beyond what anything we know in this life. But heaven will also be a place of perfect pleasure. Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." When we all get to heaven, people will be smiling and laughing, and the outrageous joy of that experience will be forever. Jesus said, "I will make everything new." Every day, you know, when you get up and you're feeling good about the day and it's a brand new day, that's so incredibly exciting. But every day in heaven is a new day. So you don't, you know, sometimes we say to people, "Have a great day." You don't have to say that in heaven, because everybody's having a great day. Everybody's having a glorious day. And think about those moments in life. Those moments in life when you have, you know, you just wish the moment could last forever. There was such joy in that. You just wish that it would be forever. But typically, of course, that moment goes away and the joy goes away and the happiness, it can't last. But in heaven, the joy will be forever. It will last forever. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In this life, everything that we have good in this life comes from our God. And in heaven, those things, therefore, that are good will be always present. And all of those things in life that make us sad or afraid will be gone. There will be joy in heaven because there's no reason to be sad. No sin, no sorrow, no death, no shadows, but the glory of His presence. Perfect pleasure. Therefore, because heaven is a place of perfect worship and perfect service and perfect beauty and perfect knowledge and perfect pleasure, we need perfect bodies to live in a place like this, because we're not in this life equipped to live in perfection. So God has promised us perfection in heaven, and everyone's so interested today, it seems, in the body beautiful. But there, it will be the beautiful body of our Lord. And so in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, but someone will ask, verse 35, "How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of different wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there's one kind for human." By the way, this debunks the myths of evolution. "There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but there are bodies, one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another flesh for fish, and so on. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, and stars differs from star in glory." So what will our resurrected bodies be like? Well, for one, they will be individual. He illustrates from agriculture, like a seed planted in the ground. Take a chrysanthemum seed. It's harder to say that, harder to see even than it is to say. Chrysanthemum. A chrysanthemum seed is a gnarly little brown seed. Not much to look at. But you plant it in the ground and a beautiful flower appears. And whatever you plant, whether it be a seed of corn or a rose, the seed must die and then flourish. Jesus talked about this. He said, if you want to know life, like a seed, you must die and then be made alive. And so we talk about burying our loved ones. If that loved one knows Christ, we're not burying them, we're planting them like a seed. Because the seed will one day bear fruit and flourish in the presence of the Lord. Immediately, instantaneously, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And there in a transition, we will wait the resurrection body. But our bodies will be individual. Now, that's important. Just as the stars differ from one another. He then goes to astronomy. He moves from agriculture to astronomy. He said, even the stars are different. Not one star is identical. Not one star of the in the galaxies are just alike. And so when we get to heaven, we will not be clones or spirits or ghosts, nor when we die do we come back, but rather we are in the presence of the Lord in Christ and we are given spiritual bodies, not spirit bodies, but bodies that are spiritual, spiritually alive in Christ, but they are bodies. In other words, what I'm saying to you is that you will be you. In fact, you will be more you than you've ever been. You won't be something else or somebody else. You will be identical to you. That's why when we get to heaven, the Bible says there will be people from every language and every nation and every culture and every kindred. We will maintain our racial and ethnic identity in heaven. It will be a fantastic collage of the nations praising God in the languages of the earth, now translated into the languages of heaven. Now, our Hispanic friends tell us that the language of heaven is Spanish. And it is a beautiful language. But the fact is, we're going to be speaking the languages of heaven and we'll all understand one another, but we'll all maintain our own identity, our own uniqueness. Here's another myth about heaven. You've heard this. Well, you become an angel when you die. No, you don't become an angel when you die. God has created angels for His own purposes, to worship and to serve Him. But He has created you with a unique identity and DNA that is uniquely you. You say, what happens to those people who are lost at sea or their bodies are burned beyond that recognition, or some way their bodies return to dust? And how does God reunite the body? And, well, God is God. And the way I look at it, you know, there's a DNA file on Jack Graham and every one of us who know Christ. And so when the body dies and the dust and returns to dust, all God has to do is say, pull up the Jack Graham file. And that's the one which was woven in the womb of my mother. The psalmist said, we are weaved together in the wombs of our mother. Before time began, God knew the plan for our lives, and He knows our DNA and our uniqueness. And so it's no big deal to God to put us back together in the bodies that He has designed for us in destiny and eternity. Of course, the question is asked, will we know one another in heaven? Well, of course we will. You don't think you'll have less sense in heaven than you have on earth, do you? Yes, we'll know our family, our loved ones, and our friends. When Jesus, in His risen body, presented Himself to His disciples, He said, it is I, it's me, Jesus. And they recognized Him. He was in His resurrected body, but they knew who He was. Peter, James, and John were called aside at the Mount of Transfiguration, and there they saw the glorified Christ, along with Moses and Elijah. And without an introduction, they knew Moses. And they knew Elijah, and standing there worshiping with the Lord Jesus and conversing the coming of the kingdom. Yes, we will know one another. Our bodies in heaven will be individual. But not only individual, they will be unique and different, but they will also be improved. Now, that is an understatement. To say that our bodies will be improved. While our bodies are similar in heaven and recognizable and real, they certainly will be superior. And that's why the scripture here talks about in verse 42, so it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, but what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. Sown in weakness, it is raised in power. A natural body, now a spiritual body. A body made alive in the resurrection. So, newly improved, better, brighter, beautiful. More beautiful than ever. I know a lot of people are interested in a better body, a more beautiful body. But the fact is, we're not going to get it this side of heaven. As hard as we try, as many vitamins as we take, and how strongly we may work out, and so on. I mean, these bodies, it's the best we got. And did you know these bodies are decaying and the deteriorating? Don't you hate the fact that these bodies are breaking down and wearing out? Did you know the Bible talks about that? In fact, turning your Bibles over to Ecclesiastes 12, if you can find it, is right in the middle of your Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And it talks about getting your life right with God early on, because as the years get older, it's more and more difficult. It is a fact that it is more difficult to give your life to follow Christ the longer you live. The best time to give your life to Jesus is the first time you hear the message of Christ. Our hearts get hard, our attitudes get stiff, and so on. But he talks about these bodies that are breaking down. For example, look in chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. When it talks about getting older, it says, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble. You know what the keepers of the house are? Yeah, right here. These are the keepers of the house, you know? But as you get a little older, you know, the guns ain't what they used to be. And they start trembling a little bit, you know? So, you know, you're older, you say, put them up there, I'll get you. You know, no, they tremble like that. Then he says, when you get older, the strong men are bent. You know what the strong men are? The strong men are your legs. And your legs kind of get bent over. What's the first thing you lose as an athlete? Your legs. That's why you don't see 50, 60-year-old athletes in great professional sports, because the legs are gone. And in life, it can't. Imagine the hope this gives someone who is manic depressive. No other religion, no other philosophy promises new bodies, hearts, and minds. Only in the gospel of Christ do hurting people find such incredible hope. I have a wonderful friend by the name of David Ring. David has cerebral palsy and has all of his life. And yet David is a preacher of the gospel and a powerful preacher of the gospel. And he's limited, very limited in the way that he walks and the way that he talks. But when we've had him here before at Prestonwood Christian Academy, loves David Ring. We had him speak to the students this past year. And he talks about people whining, you know, who don't really have that big a problem. He says, I have cerebral palsy. What's your problem? And I think about David Ring, dancing and shouting and leaping and praising God on the streets of heaven, rewarded for a life well lived for him. I think about the precious ones in our special needs ministry. Those who are racked with diseases and cancers. I think of people who are broken in heart and broken in spirit and broken in mind. The Bible says these broken and breaking down bodies will be no more, because we will be given the risen body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, our bodies will be immortal, imperishable, not just better off, we're better forever. Therefore, improved, individual, and immortal, and indestructible. Look back again in closing, the final words that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, I tell you this, verse 50, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, immortal and imperishable. And we will be with Christ forever. And we'll talk about that in the next message. But in the final words, what does that mean to you and me today? We should often think of heaven and our hope that is there, but that means that life changes today, doesn't it? And it's very interesting to me that at the close of the greatest chapter on the future and the resurrection in all of the Bible, God gives us in verse 58 some very practical and personal words. For he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Only one life will soon be passed. What's done for Christ will last. Why do I do what I do? I'll tell you exactly why I do what I do. Because life is short, and death is sure. Heaven and hell are real. And Jesus provides, and Jesus only provides salvation to those who will receive his grace and forgiveness. And I want as many people as possible to know Jesus. And I want to take as many people to heaven with us as possible.
It was an angel who announced Christ's birth to the shepherds. Angels ministered to Jesus when he was tempted, and angels were there when he rose victoriously from the grave. The very same angelic presence that was with Jesus on earth is closer to you today than you might think. And in his revealing new book, Angels, Dr. Jack Graham shows you how to see past the thin veil that separates our reality from the angelic world and to discern the divine activity that's guiding our life's journey.
I've never seen an angel, and I've never met someone who has, but I do believe angels exist, and the work that they do is real because of what the Bible says about them. Angels are working behind the scenes in the drama of life as God's messengers and warriors, ministers to execute His will, and it's important that you know the purpose of angels so that you won't be confused by movies or television and books and what others say about angels. It's important to know what the Bible says about angels so that you can be ready to give an answer to your family and to your friends.
Angels is our gift to say thank you for your financial support to keep PowerPoint broadcasting on this station. So click or call and give and request your copy today. And thank you for giving generously to help proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ around the world.
Have you ever heard that when we die, we turn into angels? Is that true? Well, actually, it's not true. According to the Bible, we don't turn into angels at all. Angels will be present when we die and present all around us in heaven. But the fact is, when we die, we get new bodies, glorified, immortal bodies. And when we're taken into the presence of the Lord, we will have these brand new bodies that do not decay. They are not subject to disease. And in the presence of the Lord, we will worship Him and experience His grace and power forever and ever.